Hey, what's up? This is Mario with Rugged 33 Podcast. Today I'm excited because I have my lovely, amazing... I shouldn't even call you lovely, huh, Louie?
No, that's a little weird.
That is. You're my nephew. Yeah, I have my... I don't want to say lovely. Anyways, my nephew, Louie. You guys know him, King Louie, Little Louie. He's on Bold and Free. Free and Bold. I always mess it up. Yeah, and then we got a special guest. We got Joe, and actually we finally met for the very first time physically.
Yeah, this is it.
Right? Physically, and I can't even remember exactly how we met. Was it through the podcast?
Through social media.
Okay.
And you were just kind of like, hey, bro, I see what you're doing. It looks pretty interesting. Tell me more about it.
Okay.
Not to make it sound like you were stalking me or anything.
Yeah,
But you get it. You know, kingdom work, I think, calls out kingdom-hearted people, like-minded people. So I think that's what it was, man. I'm happy to be here with you guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's and also because a lot of our listeners are men, you know, but not only is both of these guys are actually worship leads. And so Louie's a worship lead at a non-denominational English. And then we got Joe over here, non-denominational bilingual.
Yep.
Right? Yep. And so church. And then he's also, he was in the Army. So what did you do in the Army?
When I was in the Army, I was actually a Bradley fighting vehicle mechanic, a 63 Tango. And at the same time, I was in the infantry unit.
Wow.
So we did a little bit of everything.
Well, I was in the Boy Scouts. I think I did hard time 6 months. Louis was in Salvation Army for what?
3 years,
ringing
the bell.
Ringing the bell in front of Walmart? Or
Walmart, yeah. The night shift.
Yeah,
when all the crazy
things come out. All right. No, we appreciate We appreciate your service, man. Like, we all, on Rugged 33, because a lot of guys are military guys, you know, and so... Nice. My nephew just came in. You got to meet Josh.
Yeah,
he's a Marine, and I'm claiming him. My soon to be son in law. He's Marine also. I'm actually gonna go visit him tomorrow. I'll meet him for the first time.
Oh wow!
So it's gonna. You guys pray for me.
Yeah. What approach are you gonna take? You gonna do like the mean mug right off the bat? Or?
No, I think it's more. I think I'm more. Nice. It's like good cop, bad cop. I sort of have, but I flip the coin, so I mix it up a little bit. Yeah, I like Two-Face for Batman.
Being the Marine, you're not gonna be able to pull out the gun and scare me.
Yeah, he's gonna be like, oh, I have one like that too. It's probably better and bigger, you know.
And he's from Texas.
Yeah,
Oh, bro, that's a wrap.
Yeah. So pray for me. I think it's gonna go. He's a good guy, you know. But you know how it is. I mean, you got daughters.
I have one daughter.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, man, you know how it is. So, we'll see. Sunny's my only daughter. So, but today we are going to highlight some contrast between English bilingual, English Spanish church, and it's all focused on worship and so what that looks like. And so, we'll start with Louie. Louie, what is the craziest or funniest story that you have about worship?
So one that I guess comes to top of my mind is I remember one time I was invited to lead worship at a local church. They had asked me to come in and help them. They were going to start an English ministry. And so I'm like, okay, you know, like it was predominantly Spanish. And they're like, you know, we want to start our first English service. So I get in and, you know, they say, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're gonna start at this time. The English pastor is gonna come and he's gonna introduce you.
Just to hear it like that, or how it already sounds.
So
it gets better. He told me this yesterday.
So the pastor comes up and the pastor comes up and he gets to the mic and I'm like, okay, you know, he's obviously the English pastor. He's gonna know English. He gets up there and he starts, hey, Jesus, and he starts. I'm like, what did he just say? And
oh, I thought he was speaking in the heavenly language.
No, he was trying to say something in English.
In English.
But he didn't really speak English, you know, like.
And he was the English pastor.
And the worst thing is that my friend Joab, he's a work in progress.
And
he couldn't hold it back.
Yeah, I turn to him, he's cracking up. I look at my brother. My brother's, you know, the Marine, and he's just like, "Stop messing around." But, you know, like, man, I remember just looking at him dying, laughing, like, oh, my God. Like, that's probably the funniest experience I had. Like,
All right. Joe, your turn. What about you? Like, just right, so, interesting or funny?
So we're just normal people, right? And we're trying to do our best to do what God is calling us to do. But we're still normal people. So we have our off days. We have good days. We have bad days. And we have days where maybe your stomach isn't acting quite right. Yeah. Right? So there's a time where leading worship up front, praising God, and you're trying to be the example. Come on, everybody, lift your hands, hallelujah, shout, you know, all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, my stomach kind of isn't acting right, you know? So I got to find these moments where I'm like, okay, well, how do I create enough distraction where I can kind of, like, duck out for just a quick moment?
Yeah.
And so, like, and I'm not by myself, so I do have some people that are kind of helping me lead worship, but it's like, amen, hallelujah, lift your voice, and everybody's singing and praising, and I'm like, I gotta run, bro. I'll be right back. So I have to run to the restroom because my stomach is all jacked up. So then I kind of go do what I gotta do, run back, amen, praise the Lord. You know, and maybe like in the middle of the next song, I'm like, it's just my stomach is bubbling, man. Bro.
Yeah, bubble guts. That's what I call it.
I can't get rid of the worst. So people don't really know what's going on, but by the time you're done with your worship set, people will figure out, like, why is this guy running back and forth?
Maybe they thought you were like in a real Pentecostal church. He's like running for Christ, you know?
And the thing about it is like, I don't know if it's worse to just call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
Or just your mind, like your imagination getting the worst of you. Just everybody, like, you imagining what they're thinking.
Right, right.
I don't know, man. It was just embarrassing.
At least you left the mic.
Yeah. No, I've heard stories of, like, they're mic'd up, they go to the bathroom, and somebody has to run in there and be like, hey, dude, your mic's on. So, like, that, it didn't happen to my dad, but my dad was in a service that happened to, you know, to somebody, I think recently I was at this church, I won't say the name of the church, but I was at this church, and my daughter's sitting next to me, and, you know, their worship is going. Well, out of the corner of my eye, this lady, she caught my attention because she's like signing the songs beautifully.
Okay.
Right? And I'm like, wow, dude, like, that's beautiful. That's really, really cool, right?
Nice.
And you know, young people, right? Right next to her are like three young guys. And they're looking at her, and one of them is like trying not to laugh. You know, and I'm like, what's up with this guy? And I'm trying to just be like, I wonder what they're laughing about. And she's just signing and going out, like, man, she's doing it unto the Lord, you know?
So
So Sonny's like, wow, that's beautiful, right? Well, come to find out after church, I went to this guy. I went to Louis. I was like, hey, that lady, man, like, her sign was so beautiful, you know, in worship. He's like, uncle, she doesn't know sign language. you know what I'm saying? So that's why the boys were like smiling, because they knew, you know, but I guess they were looking at like me and Sonny, because we were just like,
mesmerized.
Yeah, we're like, wow, the Lord blessed her, you know.
The Lord was moving through her.
Yeah. The Lord blessed her with sign. Yeah. And by far, like, I want the listeners to know, like, obviously we're not making fun of anybody's worship. I want people to know that people worship in different ways. I remember, do you guys have flags at your church? There's some churches that do flags.
No, but I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay, what are, Louis?
Shafars.
Yeah, shafars, flags. What else in the Christian community?
Tambourine, pop out once in a while.
Yeah.
The mimes.
Okay, yeah. How about
interpretive dancing?
Interpretive dance. Yeah.
Flags.
Yeah, so I remember there was this lady, she was really kind, really nice at my local church, and my dad was actually the senior pastor, and she was really nice, and she comes in, she's like, Pastor Noe, is it okay if we do flags, you know, in the church? And my dad's like, yes, it's okay, but for whatever reason, it always seems like the flag people have to be in the front. But at this church, you're going to be in the very back. And if God calls you to do flags, then you could do it in the back, right?
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, okay, cool, cool. And then jokingly, I'm like, if a plane starts landing or a helicopter, he's like, Mario, you know, but I'm this like young, you know, like just idiot, you know, going through ministry, you know. So, yeah, I think those are some of the interesting things about worship. But when I say, when we say worship, what does, so let's say, Joe, I would walk into your church, because you're bilingual. Your church is bilingual. Yes. So do you sing English and Spanish?
We do, yeah.
What does it look like?
There are times where the song is in English or the song is only in Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I think we do a pretty solid job of mixing the two. So just like for format's sake, if you get an idea in your head, it might be like first verse and chorus in Spanish, right? Second verse, second chorus in English, and kind of bounce back and forth like that. So it depends. You can't do that with every song because sometimes it just gets kind of weird and you almost take away from somebody's ability to kind of surrender in the music. You know, it can be a distraction.
Right.
So I think we've done a pretty good job of figuring out when it's appropriate, when it's not. But it's good. I like it.
Yeah. Is your church more expressive? Like they raise their hands, they clap?
Yeah.
You know,
so you'll
if you could paint a picture,
okay,
a picture
so
for the listeners. They walk
you,
in. What do they see?
All right. So if you walk in, you will see people. We have in our service, all the kids go to the front. So
okay.
As soon as we start worship, all the kids know they run to the front.
Nice.
And generally speaking, you know, the kids got that energy.
Yeah.
So you'll see them jumping around, clapping. You'll see some adults, hands raised, people singing together, which is nice.
Right. Congregational singing.
Yeah, congregational singing. You got people, depending on how the flow goes, you might see a guy or two jumping up and down, running hallelujah, you know, shouting, depending on how the music is flowing, the spirit is moving. But there are times where, you know, we might have a solemn moment where we're just that straight, direct to God worship, right? It's nothing about me. It's nothing about my circumstance. It's who God is and just calling him out for his holiness and his goodness, and he's worthy. And you might see people come to the altar, you know, and kneeling down or right there on their belly or just crying at the altar.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a place where you're free to express yourself in worship. And that I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Whether you're feeling happy and clappy or not, you know, it can be for you.
Yeah.
And I like it that people also don't seem to be too bothered if the person next to them is jumping and clapping.
Right.
They can still be themselves in worship. And so that's kind of, you can imagine what that might look like.
Yeah, that's a nice creative space, man.
Yeah,
what about you, Louie? What does your church look like?
So our worship is predominantly English. You know, as some of you know, I recently got married this year, so since I've kind of thrown a few Spanish songs. And,
hey, look at that influence.
Right? but, you know, for mostly we're English. Worship-wise, I think we're very similar to your church, Joe. Hands raised. You know, sometimes you do get those people that just kind of disconnect from you know, the worship.
Yeah.
But, you know, the true worshipers, when it's time to worship, the true worshipers come out.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, we have hands raised, you know, we try to involve our kids as well. As, you know, some of the people that have been to our church know this. My nephew, he'll be up there he's 5 years old. He'll be up there
on
the stage with his guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Pointing at people in the crowd.
Smiling.
But, I guess it's pretty similar to what Joe's church,
that's,
you know.
Great.
People aren't bothered by the worship, you know, kind of.
The church that I go to over there in Central Asia, so first of all, it's the only English church, and it's a controlled state church because they come from communist residue, you know. So at any moment, an officer could just come in and sit there and look, you know. So the worship is very, I would say, like, it's almost more like, I don't know if you've ever been to like a Presbyterian church.
Yeah.
It's very hymnal.
Mm-hmm.
Really chill.
Try not to make too many waves.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like that, and that's okay. I mean, I love both. Of course, when I come home, I go to a place of mercy or to some other churches, and I mean, that's what I grew up. I grew up in both styles that you're talking about, and so it's a breath of fresh air. I'm like, ah, Spanish song. You know, when Luis sings in Spanish, I'm like, ah, yeah, because it takes me back to I grew up in Spanish church and coritos, and that's here's another thing that I wanted to talk about too is, as you know, we're part of this bigger kingdom, and we call it, listeners, we call it the kingdom of God, and we're citizens of this kingdom. That's so right. we're because we're citizens first of that kingdom. When I say like Spanish church or English church, or it, again, that's just part of our identity.
Right.
And so it's not that it's better or worse. It's just that's part of the kingdom that I'm in. And so, but when I came home, I saw that like comedians are jumping on the Latino. They know like we're here.
Right.
They know we ain't going anywhere. We've been here. We've been here. And so that's why I started off first with Kingdom Citizen. Like, no matter what, God made, I'm a Chicano. I was born here, raised here, but first and overall, I identify as a Kingdom Citizen. Nice. So because of Latino culture, Spanish culture, even within worship, I could see like Israel Houghton, like we've talked about this, where he did a like a corito set, you know, and everybody, when it came out, have you heard it?
I haven't heard it. Oh, check it out.
Yeah, you have to check it out.
Musician.
Yeah, and so you see Maverick City, they're doing a Spanish side, like everybody's doing like a Spanish side of things. So what do you guys feel about that? First we'll go with Joe and then we'll go with Louis.
Me personally, man, I did not grow up speaking Spanish, so I've had to learn Spanish.
So stop right there. I think it's hilarious because you were worshiping, you're singing in Spanish, you absolutely know no Spanish at all.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that's actually how I learned to speak Spanish, is through the worship music. So the songs, as I was singing them, right, we also have on display the lyrics. So they're in Spanish and English. So I was able to connect what I was singing in Spanish with what I'm reading in English. So what I think is, personally, now that I've come to know, you know, envelop myself in the culture more as far as Spanish speaking, man, there's something about those lyrics, bro, that it just takes you to a new level, man. Just that spirituality and the connection that you have is just rich, bro.
Right.
Man.
So my dad, he would always tell me, he's like, no, the heavenly language, Mario, is Spanish. When we get to heaven, we will speak Spanish. I'm like, all of a sudden you have a really good Spanish accent, Dad. And it, you know, he's like, no, it's beautiful. But we were talking about this.
Yeah,
go ahead, Louis.
No, it's funny you say that, Joe.
Yes.
I was talking to Mario yesterday. I think it was. We were talking about it. I was like, you know what? To be honest, I said I feel like nowadays Spanish music is more well written. I love the Mavericks and I love, you know, Israel Houghton. I love all these artists, but I feel like there's just something different with the lyrics, you know. And sometimes when we translate it, I feel like it loses something in translation.
We were just talking about that yesterday because some of the songs that we have in Spanish, they don't have an English translation. So, and some of the ones that do, the translation is so dry. So we try to find a way to, like, how do we capture the message instead of just a literal translation? But, man, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I catch myself telling my wife the same thing, like, well, why did they change this word when it changed into English? Like, to me, it's more impactful if you use the actual word that it was written, you know? Like, like a song just talk about your glory, and when we translate it, you know, I want you rather than I want your glory, you know? Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, and so, you know, me personally, I feel like some of the Spanish music is a lot more well-written.
Man, I 100% agree. And I think it has to do with, too, the fact that culturally, like, just the Latin cultures, all of them, tend to be way more expressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably louder,
yeah.
You know, more emotionally charged.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so it has its ups and downs,
yeah.
Right? And so that plays well when we're able to turn that expression, that emotional charge energy, towards God.
Yeah.
We're able to channel that and funnel that towards our worship to God. Next level, bro.
Yeah.
Next level worship.
Yeah. I recorded a church service here. What was it? Last year when I came back, I recorded it. I I posted it on Instagram, and my friends, you know, because they're Asian culture, and blanket statement, they're more reserved, mm-hmm. and even in their worship. Gotcha. So when they saw this worship, they're like, bro, what the heck, man? Like, it is true. You guys are very expressive people and yeah. loud. I was telling Louis, like, over there, if we would go to a cafe, you know, like, here, we go to a taqueria and it's loud. We got the music, you know, heaven
it's
for...
It's a whole experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember I took some of my friends to... We went to this place in Bell Gardens down south in L.A., and they had the banda, like, straight band. And for, like, 2 hours, it was, like, a tuba and trumpet just right in our ear. You know, we're just eating ceviche, you know, and stuff like that. So I was sharing with them. I'm like, no, like, dude, this is, like, part of our culture. Like, right. this is, we're very expressive. We actually are pretty loud. And, but it was amazing. So it was funny. So over there, you walk into a cafe, it could be packed, bro. Super quiet. It's weird.
That's strange.
Yeah, and yeah. even one of my friends picked it up that lives here. She's from there. She came to America, and then she went back, and she's like, do you notice that here? Like, it's so quiet. And I'm like, I did notice that. It's packed, and that, like, you can't hear, like, yeah, there's nothing.
It must have just been from a time where you couldn't, like, you needed to be under the rule of
right.
the government, you know?
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Really, really interesting. Okay, so we got that, you know, Spanish. What does it look like? So this is the next question that I have for you guys. You guys being, you know, musicians and singing and leading worship, let's say somebody wanted to be on the be on the worship team, what qualifies a person or disqualifies them? And we talked about this before we went on air, yeah. like divorce, or will you work with somebody that smokes cigarettes, or you know what I'm saying, or
yeah,
they
yeah, I gotcha.
What does that look like?
So for us, we're just getting to the point where we're really establishing a process to just kind of see overall how committed somebody is, right?
Yeah.
So first of all,
like a vetting, like, okay.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So try to get them exposed to how it is, because a lot of people might look at the worship and say, man, that would be wonderful to sing up there, or that looks like so much fun. But then they don't see, like, the behind the scenes, like, where you got to show up and you got to practice, you got to worry about, you know, how the sound is and instrumentation and all this stuff. So we invite them to practice. So if they're just like, nah, you know, then that's the first step. Like, okay, well, then you're probably not as committed as you think.
Yeah.
The other part, as far as, like, addressing their personal struggle or their sin, my first approach is starting with myself. Okay, how much grace has God bestowed upon me?
Nice.
And how graceful am I towards others, right? And if somebody, I've kind of narrowed it down to this process. If somebody is transparent, regardless of the struggle, then that means that they have a contrite, right? A heart that is struggling in their sin. And that's an indicator to me that the Spirit of God is moving in them. Because if they weren't struggling with their sin, then that would be a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
But are they being accountable? Mm-hmm. Are they willing to talk about it, be discipled?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of our process.
Okay.
And we don't do auditions. We don't mm-hmm. say, okay, show me what you got.
Yeah.
We ask them what their interests are. But more than anything, are you willing to be discipled? Because if they're not, then it's very difficult to work with somebody that is uncoachable.
Right, right. Just off the top of your head, like, the maybe new people that come to the church or whatever, like, what is, like, maybe a percentage that are interested in serving
in
worship?
Like, well, serving in worship, yeah. maybe like 1%.
Really?
Yeah, it's very small.
It's hard to find.
Wow.
It's very small. And that's why a lot of people, when it comes to the discipleship part, they don't really understand from what I can see in my perspective. They think, like, well, I just want to sing or play. Why do I need to be discipled?
Mm.
Well, the discipleship piece is, man, we're on the forefront now. Like, we're leading people in worship to the Almighty God.
Nice.
If
yeah.
we're not that vessel that God is going to use, then we got some serious issues. Because, and here's another good example, as worship leaders, we have to be, like, theologically sound as well.
Right.
So I have a relationship with my pastor that is very close,
And there are times where I love a song because it makes me feel good some type of way. And he's like, but you got to read the lyrics. Like, this is not Christ-centered. This is my feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so sometimes I need to be put in check too, because I wasn't born and raised in Christianity. You know, I'm still rough and raw in a lot of ways. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 25, and I'm 42 now.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't even lived like half of my life mm-hmm. in the kingdom. So I still need that discipleship as well. And so, again, if somebody's struggling with smoking or drinking, if they're transparent about it, and they have let's say it's another man, and I'm there to help disciple them and walk through that struggle with them, that's a different process, you know. Right. But if I have somebody that's hiding something, and now spiritually it's affecting our worship through discernment of spirit, God will reveal it, either speaking to me, to our pastor, or some other group member, and we meet and we're pretty close. You know, I would say we can work on the unity and get closer, but for the most part, we're all spiritually involved in a way where the Holy Spirit will let us know when somebody's not right. And if they're not willing to be transparent, then I'll ask them, maybe you need to take some time and reflect and really pray and ask God to help you with those struggles. Now, if they're willing to get the help and walk through it together with somebody and be accountable, I don't have an issue necessarily that they're worshiping while they're struggling. I just don't see that as a problem. I don't know if maybe you've experienced that. Or
go for it.
So, I mean, in my experience as a music director, you know, worship leader, I feel the same way. You know, I don't have a problem using someone that struggles. You know, obviously God's taken, you know, God has never chosen a perfect person.
For sure, right? You know, I wouldn't even be up there if that was
So
none of us would be up there, right?
So, you know, I definitely don't have a problem. You know, we do have a process. You know, if you want to join the worship team, first you have to be committed to the house. Second, you have to, if you want to be on the team, you have to show up to a month of practices before we even, you know, we even bring you on stage to practice.
Yeah,
we want to see the commitment there. Now, if you're committed and, you know, you say, I'm committed, you know, but, you know, I struggle with cigarettes or I have addiction to porn or, you know, something like that, you know, like, I can still work with you.
Yeah.
Because, like you, like Joe said, you know, you're being transparent.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some things we got to change, you know, some things we got to work on.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, if God can use me, God can use you.
Yeah.
100%, bro.
And so, you know, like, you know, I've never been the type of, you're just going to kick you off the team, you know, like, but, you know, if it's something that they're actively going through and Sunday service is coming up and they tell me, like, on Tuesday, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. Okay, but well, we need to take this the rest of this week. We need to work on it because, you know, at being in ministry, we're ministering to the people and we're ushering in the presence of God. So, you know, that's something that we should take sacredly. You know, that's something that we should take as something that's serious, you know. And like I said, you know, if you have that struggle, you're willing to be transparent, you know, like, God, I get it, you know. God, we're going to fall. Everyone's going to Everyone has their shortcomings.
So I wanted to go off of that. And I like what you said, because I just said, like, off the top of my head, like, smoking or drinking, Louis goes directly to porn, you know. And
the majority of men struggle with
that. Yeah. And here at Rugged 33, I want it always to be a safe place. That's why it's called Rugged 33, to be, like, brutally honest with love, with love, sure. With Christ's love. We got to love God and love our neighbor. But I appreciate that you said that. I think a lot of times some religious circles, they'll be like, did this worship leader just say, you know, he'll still work with them with porn? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I really believe that shows the heart of God and what he's doing and you know, in worship. I think a lot of times, like, think about it. So you're like, okay, 1%. 1% are walking in and you're like, that's what you got to work with, right? Imagine, you're right, because Satan is the accuser of the brother. He's the accuser of us. And so a lot of times we disqualify ourselves even before, you know, we come. And so I could only imagine how difficult it is. So you guys know I was out in Bakersfield and as part of a bigger church. And you would think that they would have more than enough musicians.
Yeah.
Dude, that was not the case. And so I went, the lead pastor was not only my lead pastor, but my really good friend.
Nice.
And he says, Mario, church would be easier if we didn't have a worship team. Like, it's always the most difficult ministry. And I could attest to that when I was a senior pastor. It was the most difficult. So what do you guys say about that? Being the team leads, you know, being the leads of musicians, like, you know, what do you think about that?
You know, I think,
because I've heard it time and time again. Yeah, it's not just,
I think my opinion is going to be different because I don't have a lot of church experience as far as being in multiple churches, because the church I'm in is the church I gave my life to the Lord in. So this is like my home church,
right? That's what you know,
born, right? This is what I know. My experience has been never enough musicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the ones that have committed, bro. Okay. Now we're at the point where we almost have never had a musician that you might consider a musician that's like formally trained.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been willing heart, committed for the cause. I love Jesus. Put me where you need me. And so that's where we're at. And
nice.
So we have now enough people that are committed. Now our struggle personally as a group is how do I figure out to hone in my craft?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're kind of just, well, I can play four chords, mm-hmm. and then we make something from that. And this is coming from my own personal experience because I'm not a musician. When I first started, the church was about 40 people deep. A new church was about 3 years old, and there was no worship team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told the pastor, like, I'm willing to serve wherever you need me. I'm just, my heart is broken. God rescued me. I want to do everything for Jesus. Like, it was like that first love. Awesome. And he's just like, well, I would love to have a worship team. We don't have anybody. And my pastor is a musician.
Mm.
And so for him, I know his heart was like struggling because he grew up, you know, in music and being trained and playing in worship and being in bands and stuff. And so I said, well, I'll do it. And he's like, well, what do you know how to play? I'm like, well, nothing. He's like, well, can you sing? No. And he was just like, okay. So we worked for how this is going to work, but I just started.
Yeah.
So I started looking up, you know, how to play chords and how to do this. And he'll tell you the story himself, but it was like, couldn't sing, totally off key. It was horrible, but I was it.
Yeah.
And I was the only one
that
was willing to do it. And just over time, God has been able to kind of work with me, and I've been working on myself to get better. And so that's how almost every time we've welcomed in a new member,
right,
onto the worship team, is that they just started with a willing heart, showed their commitment, and now we just show up. And over time, we get better because the more you play, the better you get. But now it's like, how do we take it to the next level? How do we try to become excellent with what God has put in our hands? But other than that, I've heard some horror stories, but that's been my experience, you know?
Right,
so
right.
I've been blessed in that sense.
That's awesome.
But me as a leader, not being a musician, I almost feel like, I don't want to sound like I'm the blind leading the blind, but I'm like, some of these people, they're better than me, bro. They're better at playing their instrument than me. They're better singers than I am. And I almost feel like in my mind, disqualifying myself, like, well, how can I even teach you and lead you if like you're already better than me?
Yeah.
You know, where do I take you from here?
Yeah.
So it's that, how do I hone in my craft so that I can continue to lead people somewhere?
Right.
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 So that's kind of strange.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to talk about, you know, we're talking about qualifying, disqualifying people coming on to worship, you know, being on the worship team. I was talking with Louie. I saw this video with Tekashi 6ix9ine. You know this guy?
Yeah, he's good.
Did you see the video where the lady's asking him in Spanish about church and did you go to church? And he busts out in like old school Spanish corito, right? Like, dude, my heart broke for him because he, in the video, he's like, the church won't, they won't accept this. Look at this.
Dude, I saw that video.
Okay.
Because I don't like.
Get ready, Louie, because I want you to talk about it too.
Yeah, I don't like his music. I don't like him per se and what he represents.
Right, right.
But that was a wonderful example of some of the things that we get wrong as the body of Christ. You know, and
How do we change that? Like, think about it. Like, we're known, the church is known for being ultra judgmental.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And we're talking about this, like, at least that's what they say out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
So, How do we change that?
I think the way to change is you get rid of religion and you grow in relationship.
So what would that look like?
So that means, like, get over yourself and learn to love people. You know, learn to love people as Jesus loved people. You know, the biggest mistake, especially the American church makes, is that we make people jump through hoops that Jesus never made us jump through. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, in order to qualify, you have to go to this Bible college. Or in order to qualify, you have to dress this way, or you have to look this way, or you have to, your hair has to be this way. You know, and it's never something, you know, that Jesus made us jump through.
Right?
The beauty of the gospel is that it's so simple, is that Jesus died for you, and that all you have to do is believe in him and turn, just give your life to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole gospel in its entirety.
Tekashi 6ix9ine comes to your church, Joe. He's like, hey, I feel the Lord's calling me to worship. What do you do?
So that would be immediately the same process.
Nice.
Are you going to show up?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Check the level of commitment.
Yeah.
Are you willing to be discipled?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We need accountability. Like, for all of us, you know, I'll speak for myself. What goes on inside this mind right here, it's not good, bro.
Yeah.
And it's almost always leads me astray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if I know that about myself, I have to have accountability. A lot of people look at me for what I do, and they think, oh man, that's so awesome. Joe's so wonderful. He's so great, and all this other stuff. But they don't realize that I'm up there because I need Jesus.
Right.
I need to be reminded of who my God is. I need to keep my pride in check. I need to keep myself in check, because if not, my mind runs amok.
Yeah.
My heart is crooked. It's twisted. There is no remedy for it, right? Only Jesus. Jesus is my saving grace.
Wow.
And I go back to him time and time again. And so my worship is not a product of somebody saw some potential in me and they brought out the champion in me.
Mm-hmm.
No, my worship is a product of the gratitude that I have for the grace that God has bestowed upon me. That he saw someone like me in the condition that I was in. And I realized that even in my broken state, he was willing to die for me. He saved me from my sin. He rescued me, man.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that, bro. And so that's why it comes out the way that it does, because I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to go back to where I was, and I don't want to forget where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't live my life thinking about my past, but I certainly allow my worship to be impacted by the gratitude I have for where God has brought me from.
Music is... Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
That was well put. Music is so powerful, you know, in today's age,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's easy to put music out there, just like this podcast, and put it on Spotify, and I don't know how, but it goes to all these other avenues, you know, electronically. Yeah. So what I wanted to ask Louis, we were talking about Kanye West. Me personally, I didn't listen to his record at all. The Christian one.
Yeah.
Not that I had anything against him. Uh-huh. I just didn't. There was just a point in time. I listened more to his old stuff more than just that record. Like, I just want to be honest. But, like, we see Kanye now. He's doing whatever he's doing. And I asked Louis the question. We listened to part of the record yesterday. I listened to it for the first time. I was like, oh, dang. It was like it's old good. School Kanye.
Yeah.
Right? And so... Louis, I asked you, like, was it a fluke? Was it just something that happened with Kanye? Because now the direction he's going now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it was a fluke.
Yeah.
Listening to that first album, watching when he first came out, because I was one of those people that was a little skeptical as well.
Right.
I listened to the album. I listened to the interviews. And at the end of the day, I felt that he was really sincere about his search for Jesus and his desire to serve Jesus. But I think where Kanye is at now is he's a product of poor discipleship.
Ooh,
nice.
Somebody should have, whoever would led him to Christ or whoever was his spiritual advisor, that, what do they say nowadays, right, should have told him, hey, Kanye, you know what? That gospel album, that's nice, but we need to disciple you.
Yeah.
Right? We need to put you with someone that's going to disciple you and that's going to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
And you know, And I think that's one thing. We did the same thing that the church did, the same thing with Mace. Remember, Mace came out in the 90s,
that's right.
The late 90s, and wanted to be a pastor and all that stuff.
About that,
And he says that at the time, the pastor he was under told him, hey, Mace, you need to go back to the world because the world needs you.
No. Mm. Are you serious?
Yeah. And product of poor discipleship.
Yeah. Wow.
That's why I really feel that it's Kanye's case. You know, like, I really feel like he was, you know, on the right track. You know, you know, if you look at it, it's funny. I was telling him, I seen this video of him on the Kardashians or whatever. And he, at the time, he was married to Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. And he's telling her, you need to dress more modestly. Like, I don't like when you're showing off all that stuff.
Yeah, it's
funny, but at the same time, he showed that there was some type of change in him going on. And he didn't like to see that. And but I think that we failed. The church failed with and, you know, not that it's too late for Kanye, but that we failed in discipling him.
Yeah. Wow. No, that was good.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. I appreciate that point of view, and I agree with that 100%. On the other side, too, I 100% believe that the moment that you commit your life to Christ, we have a common enemy, right? And I think that Satan would love for nothing more than just to bring down an influential Christian person to make God look bad for no other reason, right? Just to distort the truth. And the moment that he committed himself to Christ, I also believe that it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
But with his level of influence and his spotlight, it just made him that much of a greater target.
Right, bigger target on his back. Yeah.
And if Satan can use him to make it look like we Christians are crazy, then all the power to him, right? Because he just wants to distort God's truth and make God look like a liar.
Awesome. Okay, here we go. Some questions for you. Louis, who's your go-to, like, artist, worship artist that you're just like, this guy's on point, this is, you know.
You know, so my go-to worship artist, I listen to Israel Houghton and stuff like that, but I would say go-to would be Marvin Sapp, man. That's my boy right there. Like, especially when Marvin stops when he starts going,
he gets down.
Oh my God.
Marvin
Sapp. Fall out and the Holy Ghost.
Right. Some old school gospel. So, listeners, it's some old school gospel. Well, not even old school. It's probably, what, 90s?
Even like mid 2000s.
He's good.
Yeah. What about you? Who's your go to?
So right now, my jam, like my song right now, that just kind of takes me.
We're gonna do artists, and song next.
All right. So then we'll stick with artists. Okay. So as a group, I really appreciate, as far as worship, I really appreciate a group called Red Rock Worship.
Okay.
So it's a worship team out of Colorado.
Okay.
So, man, their songs, beautiful work, beautiful worship, and I just can put on that playlist and I can just let it run, man.
Nice. For me, I'm going old school on you. I'm old. I'm going to go old school Andre Crouch. I could put on any one of his songs.
I don't even know who that is.
See what I'm saying?
I didn't want to crouch.
Yeah.
He's the godfather of gospel.
Dude, like, he's amazing. So Andre Crouch, listeners, if you don't know who he is, check him out. He's amazing. I want to say like 70s, even probably like 60, probably 70s.
Wow.
I think that's when he was like really at the late 70s or mid 70s.
He's got to be on like tour with Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's boss, dude. He's boss. So, okay, how about song? Just a song that, like, you know, the worship when it's just you and God and it's like the ugly cry, you know, and the mocos and all right, Louis, go for it. What about you?
I'd probably have to say mine would be I Trust You by James Fortune.
Okay.
Or Still I Will Trust You by NorCal Mass Choir.
Yeah, that one's a really good one. NorCal Mass Choir.
Remember the
choir music was awesome. What about you, Joe?
So mine is by a group called Oasis Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's this the Spanish version.
Okay.
And it's called Yahweh.
Okay. Oh.
So we sing that here.
That's my jam right now, bro. Like, I just can't get enough of that song. And just from the first note, man, if they didn't even have lyrics, I think it would still be good. But man, when you start putting those lyrics to it, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I stumbled on that song over there in Central Asia. I was like, oh man, that song is like, the minute I turned, that's my new school one. That's my new school. But old school, my throwback song, it's actually called I Won't Complain. And it's it's an old song by Reverend Paul Jones. Yeah, it's basically my life song, dude. It's like so, it's amazing. But that's my jam. Like I put that song on and it just reminds me of the goodness of God and what he's, you know, what he did for me on the cross. And like, it's just, yeah, I get all pumped. Yeah, sometimes now you guys know I started actually giving a rip about my health. And so usually that's the last thing to go. It's like, no, I'm podcasting. I can't run this morning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'll run later on today. Yeah. But I put a worship set. And I didn't know that when you're training for my ultimate goal is to run a marathon. But I run 5Ks now. But when you're training, there's a tempo that you run. And so what I did was I matched a worship set to that tempo of run.
Nice.
And so I'm
that's
like
next level, bro.
Right. So I'm like, okay. Right. I'm like, okay, I'm killing two birds with one stone, you know? I'm running a 5 because I try and run 5K. It's like 3.2 miles. So I try it every day. And so I put on my headphones, I put on the tempo run, and I get my worship in, you know, at the same time.
Nice.
And it's interesting. It was really interesting. But yeah, that's my go-to. Next question. Worship. When we talk about worship, I've heard this living a life of worship, right? Because we know we just don't worship on Sunday at a certain time.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, if you could just paint a picture for the listeners, what does that look like for Joe, the army guy who worked in prison, in the prisons, you know, like what does that look like for you?
So for me, I consider, it sounds kind of weird to say it like this, but I consider myself a little bit extreme, right? And that's just because I feel like in the life that I've lived and what God has done for me, I feel like it's the best that I can offer him. And so I don't when I get in the car on the radio, I only listen to worship music. I don't listen to any other kind of music. I know other kinds of music, right? If the voice comes on,
we're
going to
get
TV,
into that soon.
stuff like that. The voice comes on TV. Yeah. I'm not like, my ears, you know, change it. Nothing like that. But that's my level of commitment to try and help me keep my heart in the right place. That's what it is. And keep my mind in the right place. Because if I don't, then I have issues, right? My mind wanders, my heart is messed up. On the other side of that, I try to do everything like the Bible says, right? Do everything as if you're doing unto the Lord. And I feel like that's a way to worship him. I'm still a work in progress. I try to, everywhere I go, try to be graceful. I try to extend a helping hand. And that's how I try to live out my worship, by helping others.
Nice.
So it doesn't matter if I go to the gas station and I see somebody, hey, do you need something to drink? You know, can I help you out with something? Or if I see someone pulled over on the side of the road, hey, you need help changing that tire? Yeah. You know, if I see somebody coming out of the grocery store and they're loaded with groceries, do you need help loading that up in your car?
Right.
And so just everything that I do, I try my best to be a good representative of the kingdom.
Nice, nice. What about you, Louis? What does that look like?
I think, you know, life of worship is the same for me, you know, just trying to live out that life that Jesus has called us to. And, you know, to be well-rounded in you know, every aspect spiritually, you know, and you know, I think, you know, like you said, you know, being in the hands and feet of Jesus, that's
nice.
Worship right there.
Definitely.
You know, one thing that people know about me is that I have a heart for the homeless, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I see that person, I, you know, the Bible says, you know, when you give to them, you gave to me,
that's right.
I, you know, I'm just always just trying to be, you know, better than I was the day before. You know, trying to be in a better place, not better than I was, but in a better place with the Lord than I was the day before.
Yeah.
Got it.
And so I think that's worship, you know, just always trying to, wherever this, be willing to let the Spirit lead you.
I think he posted something too recently that I agree with, that like, don't tell your kids about how to pray, like show them.
That's
a huge part, man.
It was a good video
for your family.
I mean, what does that look like? My daughter's 22, There's nothing that makes my heart feel better than sitting next to my daughter, my son, now my grandsons, and worshiping with him. Like, yeah, there's, like, you know, we take communion together before we open our presents for Christmas. Like, those things are, like, my favorite things.
That's awesome.
Know? That's all I want. They're like, what do you want for your birthday? I'm like, come with me to church. You know what I'm saying? So Sunny, she'll sit next to me, and I'll hold her hand through the service. And then when it's time to worship, like, I'll just grab her hand and raise her hand. You know, we're both raising our hands to Christ.
That's
and
beautiful.
Yeah, well, I can't send you a video, right? That I don't do myself.
Looks good on
that I exactly that I don't try and practice myself. You but I had that. I had that blueprint from my dad, you know, like my dad always encouraged me in the things of God and like basically held my hand through, you know, through Christianity. So
nice.
That was, yeah, that was really, really good. All right. So here we go. We're almost done. We got less than 5 minutes. Dude, we're at the 50 mark, guys.
That's great. That's
we could
nice.
Talk about worship all day long.
Yeah,
and I'm not even like, I like to worship. Don't get me wrong, but I'm more of a, I love to read scripture and study scripture.
Okay.
Like, that's my thing. You know, like, so when it's time for worship, yeah, I worship and stuff, you know. But I see some people that are very passionate, like you guys, because that's the gift that God's given you, you know. But I want to talk about this. What is do you listen to non-Christian music? Louis.
Very rarely.
Very rarely
very
for you.
Rarely. And usually when it is, it's usually like if I'm out somewhere,
yeah,
it's like they put on some old, I love old, like older music, like Stevie Wonder,
okay,
and those dudes,
yeah,
Michael Jackson's old stuff.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, now when I'm in my car and I'm going somewhere, it's usually either I have worship on or I have where I have like Christian rap on or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Usually Christian rap. When I get in your car this morning, it was
like
Christian
rap.
Yeah,
Christian R&B.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like it puts me in a better mood.
Yeah.
Most times,
yeah.
It takes me out of my emotions. You know?
Yeah.
You could be listening to a love song and you know talk about or a country song talking about cheating and then you feel a certain way after. You know, like you said, like the power of music. You know, like music's really the only. They say there's a saying that really music is the only thing that can enter your mind without you having the ability to stop it.
Ooh, yeah, I heard that.
Like if I, you know,
does
like
not ask permission.
Yeah, I heard this. You know, someone say one time if I asked you, if I said the best part of waking up,
that's right, it's Folgers in your cup,
right?
Yeah.
Now you didn't wake up saying you were gonna learn the Folgers song this morning,
right? Right.
But you know that's why I try to set my day, you know, right, and I try to put myself in that good mood because I don't want to be side eyeing my wife or flipping off the guy next to me that cut me off.
Yeah, just
for
one
sure.
time.
I'm an emotional
I'm just
person.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, you're listening to E40. You're like, what? What did you just say?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. What about you, Joe?
So for me, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to, I shouldn't lie like that. There are times where we go, that's, my family has this thing, we go on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and my boys and my daughter, they have this thing that they, you know, they make a playlist on Spotify.
Nice.
And they each take turns putting their own songs on there. So you might, you know, get some of the oldies on there that pop up.
Yeah.
But me personally, I don't. And I just feel like that's just me personally from where I came from.
Yeah.
And me just trying to take a hard turn and keep myself separate from the life that I lived before.
Right, yeah, because music has a huge influence on you. Like when I put on like Rage Against the Machine, then all of a sudden I could run. Like even farther, you know what I'm saying?
Overturn the government.
Yeah, exactly. And I say Rage because like that's probably one of my favorite all-time bands. You know, like I see them in concert. You know, but because people ask me like, "Oh, Mario, Pastor Mario, do you listen to, you know, non-Christian music?" I'm like, "Yes, I do," but I'm very careful because I know how influential music is. Like everybody, like my nephews know, like 70s rock, favorite all time. Like, because my dad, like, introduced me Yeah, and my dad was a pastor, but he had vinyls, he had records, and he'd put them on, but it wasn't above his worship. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, he would, because my dad got saved during the Jesus Revolution, in the United States, and so that was a big part of his life.
Gotcha.
And so he introduced me to the Animals. He introduced me to, all these different bands, the Doors. My mom was from Los Angeles, just like my dad. She's like, "Yeah, I seen Jim Morrison in concert before."
What?
I'm like,
You're like, well,
"Mom,
I don't even know you.
yeah."
How
She's
do
like, "We were doing like uppers, downers, all arounders." I'm like, "Mom, dude, yeah." She's just like at
all
the age where
arounders.
she's just like,
No filter.
"Yeah, actually, we're gonna have her on. We're gonna have her on the podcast.
That's awesome.
We're gonna do she's gonna do, because she got saved during that time, the Jesus
Yeah,
Revolution,
yeah.
and so we're gonna I'm so excited,
That
because
is exciting.
yeah, just to have her on. But she always surprises me. I'm like, "What the, like, you were into pills?" She's like, "I don't glorify those things, but that's what we did." I'm like, "Okay, I guess so." You know what I'm saying? And so yeah, for me, I love music. I love all kinds of, yeah, you guys know I listen to 70s music, reggae. I'm getting into Spanish music because I'm trying to learn Spanish really well. Like, I got convicted. I'm like, "Man, I could speak Russian, I could speak Kyrgyz, I could speak English, but my mother language, the heavenly language, I'm not that good at, And even when I go to Mexico, they have bad names for us over there, coconut, bocho, all these words, but I really am intentionally trying to learn and use it more. Over there, they'll talk to me in Russian, and then I'll answer back in Spanish, and then I'll be like, "Oh, I meant," and then I have to change to Russian. But yeah, no. So yeah, I like all kinds of music, but you have to be careful because it's so, like I said, put on Rage Against the Machine, and yeah, I'm running another mile, or I could lift that much more. Well, that much more weight, you know what I'm saying? But so the listeners know, I start off my day and end my day and throughout the day always in worship. Like, my daily devotion, because people have asked me, they're like, "You put daily devotion, what does that mean?" And I'm like, "Okay, this is what it looks like. I wake up in the morning, my Bible's right by my bed. I open it up, I read it. Today I read Hebrews chapter 6, And so I read Hebrews chapter 6, and then I pray, and then I meditate on what and it, on what the Lord shared with me in His word. And so when I say meditate, listeners, I'm not talking like, "Oh yeah, cross my legs with my finger." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about throughout the day, I'm remembering and I'm asking God to allow me to remember what I read and to believe it. So I was on the promise of Abraham, right? In Hebrews, he's going over the promise of Abraham. And so sometimes my faith has issues, and I'm like, "Okay, I need to remember His promises." And so, Lord, help me remember His promises, So yeah, that's what daily devotion looks like. Sometimes I have to go back and I have to read again. Sometimes I go back and I pray again, or I'm running and I'm listening to my tempo run, so that I could get stronger in my running. So that's what it looks like. Guys, dude, we're at 58 minutes. Joe, I appreciate you, dude. It's so good
Oh,
to
I'm happy
finally
to meet
meet
you
you.
guys, man, and thank
Yeah.
you for having me.
And of course, Louie, my nephew, it's always good having you. Rugged 33 listeners, Joe, he has a nonprofit. He's going to share a few minutes with what it's about. I would like for you guys to really look for him. Financially, he's never going to ask you for money, or maybe he will. But hey, if the Lord puts it in your heart, will connect you.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. And what my wife and I are doing is we started something that we call Grace Family Love. So it's all one word, Grace Family, and Love is spelled LUV. So you can find us and just check us out on Instagram at Grace Family Love underscore organization, also on Facebook, and see what we're doing. What we decided to do is God put it in our heart to start a transitional home for those foster youth that are outgrowing the foster system and have nowhere else to go. What's happening is they are becoming homeless and being groomed for human trafficking. So our home is for those that have outgrown the foster system and have been rescued for human trafficking. We'd love to have your support.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much. Reggae 33 listeners, thank you. Little Louie, King Louie, thank you. Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace out.